Good morning, everybody. We're starting a new Sefer Shmos. Excuse me. So I want to begin with item one on your sheet. Excuse me. Is the introduction of the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the Velazhna Rosh Yeshiva, to his Pirush on the Chumash, on Sefer Shmos, the Chumash Ayimek Davar, which is a classic commentary. It was published in his lifetime, actually. We might have mentioned this in the past. There is a new edition of the Netziv, of the Ayimek Davar, put out by a descendant of his, a great, great, great grandson. And he added into the commentary notes that were on the side of the Netziv's Chumash, his own notes. When it was printed in his lifetime, he had written additional notes on the side, addendi, and they're included in this new Netziv. In any event, the Netziv gave a weekly Chumash shir in the yeshiva, and that's what his pirush is. And this is the introduction, and it's a classic introduction. It's a classic introduction, and there is a tremendous nuance here. So, Peticha L'Sefer Shmos. This is his opening, his introduction to the book of Shmos, Exodus. Call it Exodus, call it Shmos, but we're going to see that the Netziv has a totally different understanding of the name based on Rishonim, on early rabbis. Zeha Sefer Nikra Befi Balei HaMedrash Sefer Shmos. So the rabbis in the Medrash refer to the second book of the Chumash as Shmos, names, because it begins with a listing of the names of the tribes of Klal Yisrael. Kedi'is of Breshis Rabbah, he gives an example in our oral tradition. Vayhi Or, the rabbis Darshan, they explain the Pasuk Vayhi Or, and there's light, Neged Sefer Shmos, that refers to the book of Shmos. V'chein b'harbe mekomos, and in many places. V'haramban, b'sof ha-sefer, the Ramban, at the end of his commentary, Karu Sefer HaGeula, he calls it the Book of Redemption. Zulas Rabbeinu Baha, so you see there are many names, Shmos, Sefer HaGeula, in English we call it the Book of Exodus, right? And then he says, all these names are used by Chazal, by the rabbi, Zulas Rabbeinu Bahag. Except for the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, who was one of the early rabbis known as Rishonim. B'sof Sefer HaKodesh, at the end of his holy work, Yikra'ehu Sefer Sheni. He referred to Sefer Shmos as Sefer Sheni. Makes sense. Second book, right? Well, it's going to get complicated. D'kachoshiv Chamisha Chumshe Torah. Here's how he called the five books. Sefer Bereshis, number one. Chumash Sheni, second Chumash. And Vayikra V'Sefer Kohanim, because it's the laws of the Kohanim. The fourth, the Chumash HaPekudim, the Chumash of counting, because it begins with a counting, a census of Bnei Yisrael, Bamidbar. Mishnah Torah, and Devorim is Mishnah Torah, because it's a repetition, it's like a second Torah, it's a repetition of mostly a repetition of things, items and mitzvahs that have already been given in the first four books of the Chumash, with notable exceptions. When we get, in Yitz Hashem, when we get to that Sefer, we'll have what to say on that too. And he quotes a oral tradition, a Gemara in Sota, in the Talmud, Lo kederech shechalukim b'chumash hapekudim, ela kederech shechalukim b'chumash sheni. So he refers to Shmos as Chumash sheni. Now, what's the problem with that? V'shuta d'rabosenu nitan lamdenu bina. There has to be some deep significance here. Shelo bechinam shinu Hashem b'zeh ha-sefer. It was not without reason that he purposefully, carefully changed the name of the book. V'haya l'rabosenu, if they're going to call this Chumash Sheni, then the rabbis should have likro kulam b'mispar Chumash Sheni shlishi. So if Shmos is Sheni, then Vayikra shouldn't be called Sefer Kohanim, it should be Chumash Shlishi, right? If we're going, what, is it ordinal or cardinal? Is it ordinal numbers? So you have Sefer Bereshis, then you have Sefer Sheni, the second. So let's call Vayikra Sefer Shlishi. Let's call Bamidbar Sefer Revi. And Chamishi, Devorim, let's call Sefer Chamishi. Why didn't he do that? Why is it only that Shmos is called Sefer Chumash Sheni? Bereshis Sheni. Then he goes back to names. What's going on here? Oh, al inyan ha mesuyam shebo kemo yitzias mitzrayim o matan Torah kemo shekori sefer bamidbar. Call it the book of the Exodus from Egypt. You see, which we do in English, right? It called the book of yitzias mitzrayim, right? O matan Torah, the book of the giving of the Torah. Kemo shekori sefer bamidbar, like we called sefer bamidbar sefer pikudim, the book of the county, because the census took place there. O kemo shekasav bimekom atat. Ella, so what's going on here? Why is it Bereshis is one, Chumash Sheni the second, Chumash, and then he goes back to names, not the third, the fourth, the fifth. He's telling us a tremendous chiddush here. Ella bo lamdenu dezeh ha-sefer biyichud hu sheni l'sefer reshit habriya. It is the second of Bereshis. In other words, there's Bereshis one. Bereshis is Bereshis 1, creation 1. And Sefer Shmos, Sefer Sheni, is Bereshis chapter 2. There's two Chumashes of Bereshis. Bereshis 1 is Bereshis, Bereshis 2. Sheni is Shmos. There are two books of the creation. How does that work? Ki hu chelik Sheni mizeh Sefer. It's the second part of Bereshis. Hainu bo nigmar Seder HaBriya. In other words, the created world was not completed in Sefer Bereshis, as we might have thought. But the completion of the world, as God wants to see it, is done in Sefer Shmos, in the second Chumash. The second Chumash, Bereshis. Ukemaim Ramzal, as the rabbis say, Bereshit. Why does the Torah begin with Reshit? Bishvil Yisrael, Shenikru Reshit. This refers to the Jewish people who are called Reshit, who are called, I thought I turned it off. Excuse me for 1 minute. Okay. The Medrash says that why is the Torah called Reshit? Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Reshit. Because the Jewish people are referred to as Reshit, as the beginning. Pirush, meaning Tachlis HaOlam Bichlal, the purpose of the created world in general. Hu Sheyauma Achat, Chelek Hashem Ima. That there should be one people who are attached to God, the creation of the Jewish people. Vizelo nishlam, and that wasn't completed in Sefer Bereshis. Ad sheyotzi Yisrael mimitzrayim, until the Jews came out of Egypt. In other words, the definition of a people, if we are slaves to another nation, then we're not free people. So we were not Klal Yisrael yet until we left Egypt. In Egypt, as slaves to another nation, we were not the Jewish people until we were freed, until we came out, goy mikerev goy, and we emerged as a people. Right? Vizelo nishlam ad sheyatzi Yisrael mitzrayim. This didn't happen until we left Egypt. Ubo l'tachlisam, and we came to our ultimate purpose. Shiu l'tzura acheres, that we would be a totally different nation. Bamesha kiblo aleim ol Torah mitzvot, by accepting the responsibility, the yoke of Torah and commandments. Ubezeh nichlal gam zeh ha-tachlis. And included in this is this purpose of the created world, shiru'uyim liot or lagoyim, so that we should be fit, by virtue of receiving the Torah, to be a nation unto the a light unto the nations. La'amidam al yidiyat elokei olam. In order to elevate the nations of the world with a knowledge of God. Then skip the brackets, go down a few lines. Nimtza, it comes out, the Yitziat Mitzrayim hu Gemar HaBriya, that the exodus from Egypt was in fact the conclusion of the created world, right? Because the world is not just a physical world, the world is ultimately a spiritual world. The physical world that he created is merely a stage upon which the spiritual world emerges. And that only happened by virtue of a Yitzias Mitzrayim, O Matan Torah, or the giving of the Torah, and or the giving of the Torah. So the completion of Bereshis is not until the Exodus from Egypt, and that is not complete until we receive the Torah. Kimevuar od b'rabba Bereshis, as the rabbis in the Medrash again tell us, b'schut haTorah shenikret Reshit. Torah is also called Reshit, the beginning, the first. In the merit of the Torah, which is called Reshis, v'hainu k'di'isa b'avodos kochavim. Daf Gimel Vayi Er Vayi Boker Yom HaShishi. The rabbis say, you know, you're going through at the beginning of just to to jar your memories a little bit, the first day, the second day, but the sixth day, the Torah uses ha-shishi, the definite article, the sixth. Torah was, this was the end of the sixth day. Why is it ha-shishi? Malami, this is hinting to another sixth, the sixth day of Sivan, upon which the Torah was given. Malami, shenitna HaKadosh Baruch Hu, imaisa shehisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu, imaisa bereshis. God made a condition with the created world. Imekablim Yisrael as HaTorah mutav. If we will receive the Torah, the world will remain. If not, I will return the world to disorder, to tohu vavo. Nimtza, it comes out, the matan Torah hu gemar habriya. The conclusion of Bereishis is the giving of the Torah. Vahainu ach, the Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Yitzias Mitzrayim. Sha'az hayu ru'uyim Yisrael lekabelat Torah. It was only by virtue of the Exodus that we became a free nation, we became a people, we became Klal Yisrael, and we were able to receive the Torah. Ulahashlim habriya, and to complete the created world. Because the created world, as a physical world, without any spiritual substance, is meaningless. It wasn't completed yet until we left Egypt and until the Torah was given. Ulavo bezeh letachlis yitzirasa, and that's the purpose of the creation. Vidas Torah etzel am Hashem, ukemodas anushi. He says, and without Torah, Torah to us is like ethics and morality. Midot yisharot shel Torah to Adam, by everyone else. Asher afagav shelo higia tevel umeloa lezeh hashlemus ad achar zman rav achar bria shemayim vaaretz. Ethics and morality with people didn't come till much later after the creation of the world. Vegam kayom, just like today. Yesh harbe b'nei Adam, there are many people in the world. Shelo higia lezeh amav. There are people living a physical existence without ethics, without morality, without any kind of spirituality. Mikol makom, hadavar muskal gam le'umot ha'olam. But it's well known, even according to the nations of the world who didn't receive the Torah, that derak zeh haya tachlit ma'alat ha'adam, that the purpose of man is to live an ethical life, to live a moral life with some kind of inner purpose, some kind of abstract, intangible, not just to live out like animals a physical life. V'kach yesh lanu am Yisrael la'amin. And so too the Jewish people have to believe. Da'af agav, notwithstanding, shelo nitna ha-Torah v'chukoteha ad achar yitziat Mitzrayim, that even though our laws, our Torah was not given until after the Exodus, v'gam ata, even now, yesh harbei mi-Yisrael, there are many Jews, shelo higiu l'dat Torah, there are many Jews who are living without Torah, life without Torah, Mikomakon, that being said, Rak haTorah hi tachlit ma'alat Yisrael. It is only the Torah that is the elevating source of the Jewish people. It's what elevates us. Shenotzru lezeh, that's what we were created for. Ukeh bezeh nitna labrit im am leor goyim. And that's our covenant. Our covenant to be a light unto the nations is through Torah. That's what distinguishes us between the other nations. Nothing else. It's not a pretty face. It's a magnificent Torah, which distinguishes us from the nations of the world. Nimsa, so what is he saying? Nimsa, he's saying a wonderful, wonderful idea. Nimsa, the Sefer Shmos, who Sefer Sheni LaRisha. That's why the Bahag refers to the books as Bereshis, and the second Chumash, and goes on to names. It's not a second, third, fourth, fifth. It is Bereshis base. It is the second chapter, the concluding chapter of Bereshis. It's one thing. It's a continuum of creation in two parts. Shel Sefer HaBriya. U'bezeh nitba'er ha'dichsiv, when he goes on to explain with verses with Psukim. So you see here a beautiful idea presented by the Bahag. And because he calls Chumash Shmo Sefer Sheni, we know that Bereshis is in two chapters. We have the physical world and the groundwork of the spiritual world was created with our avos and our imos, with our fathers and mothers. And then the second chapter, the ultimate creation, the exodus from Egypt creating a people, a free people, who received the Torah, the ultimate conclusion of the creation of the world. Okay, wonderful idea. Okay, number two on the sheets is from Rav Nissen Alpert, the Limurei Nissen, who we have seen. We're getting to appreciate his approach to Chumash. So here you have the story of Moshe Rabbeinu being put in a little basket, and because Paro had decreed that he was going to kill all the males, all the boys. Incidentally, the Medrash tells us that when his mother Yocheved made the basket, she put a canopy on top of the basket, a chuppah. The Medrash says that it was kind of a prayerful hope that he will reach the chuppah, he will survive and reach the chuppah. So mothers here can certainly appreciate that kind of a sensitivity on the part of Yocheved. So here comes the daughter of, here comes Bat Paro, the daughter of Paro. Her name was Bitya. Bitya Bas Paro, the daughter of Paro. Vatiftach vatereu es hayelet. She opened up the little teva and saw the boy. Vihine nar boche. And the boy cried. Vitachmol alav. And she pitied him. Vatomer. And then she went on to say, miyalde ha'ivrim zeh. What are we going to do? Right? Yeah, and so on and so forth. So he asks a question here, which really was not his question. He says, "Ra'isi diuk na'eh b'shem hagona kodesh harib Aaron av bezdin mitzanz." He heard a beautiful idea from the tzanzer Rav. Lama hivsik ha'katuv milisaper shehu miyaldei ha'ivriyim. How comes the pasuk interrupts this narrative of finding Moshe? Right, the pasuk should leave out this vatach molalav. And she pitied him. Just say, she opened the little basket, and there was a child crying, and she said he must be from the Jews, one of the Jewish boys being hidden away. What should we do with him? But instead, the rabbi asks, it interrupts by saying that she opened the basket, and she pitied that she heard the boy cry, and she had pity for him. And then goes on with the narrative. What is that insertion of her human emotion doing in the narrative? It seems to be out of context. First, let the Torah conclude the story of Moshe. And only afterwards tell us of the pity that Bitya felt for Moshe Rabbeinu. So he doesn't give that rabbi's answer, but he has his own answer, and it's a beautiful answer. According to my humble opinion, Nira Lomar, one could suggest, Shilimda Torah Hakdosha Derech Bechesed. The Torah is teaching us a lesson in Chesed, a lesson in kindness. The Imanu Roim Ish Umlal, Shenimtsa Betzara. If you are confronted with a person who is in a sad state, who is in a painful state, who is in pain, a Jew in pain, so Tsarich Lachmol Alav, Tekef Umiyad. So the first reaction should be to have pity on that person. Your heart should go out to that person. Ulahafil midat harachamim bikirbenu, and that our sense of rachamim, of mercy and compassion should be awakened. Leezro, to help him immediately. Ulahoshia mikol bechol yecholteinu, and to save that person with all of our ability. Va'acharkach, and only afterwards, lachshov cheshbonot. Once I made that decision, immediately that emotional decision of chesed, I'm going to help this guy. Now, let's go back and think with my mind. First, my heart should react. Then my head should react. My intellect should react. How am I going to deal with this? What's the problem? How can I deal with it? Am I really capable of doing this? Or maybe, let me check out, is he really fit to be helped? But that comes second. In fact, this is how Moshe functioned. It says, when our introduction to Moshe in this week's parsha, Vayigdal Moshe, Moshe grew, Vayar b'sivlotav. The first thing we see, the first statement about Moshe Rabbeinu, our introduction to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah is that he went out and he saw the suffering of the Jewish people. First statement about Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayar b'sivlotam. Hishtatef b'tzaratam. Immediately, he felt a sense of participating in the pain and lessening the burden of another Jew. Vayar ish mitzri makeh ish ivri miachiv. He saw an Egyptian hitting a Jew. It was brothers. Miyad, immediately, amad l'ezra. He stood up and helped him. V'lo chishev klum. im mistaken benafsho. He didn't think that he's putting himself in danger. Who is this guy? Maybe he's stronger than me. Maybe he's more powerful than me. Vefshar, and truth be told, shepikuach nefesh didei dochemitzizu. Maybe Moshe had a heter. Maybe Moshe had a license not to help for his own well-being. You know, it's a question in halacha, in fact, the rabbis discuss the halachic issue based on this episode in the Chumash, whether a person is permitted to put himself in a dangerous situation to save another person. In other words, if you go by the river and someone is drowning and you can't swim, right? Are you allowed to go in and try to help this guy, right? That's a question in halacha. Right? So maybe you could even suggest halachically, the rabbi saying, that maybe Moshe didn't have to, maybe just could walk away and not get himself killed from this episode. But he didn't do that. He acted with his heart immediately. V'chein, and further example with Moshe, Bamesha Azar Livnot Midyan, how he helped the daughters of Midyan. V'kach haita midata shabat paro. And this was the character trait of the daughter of Paro. Vatiftach, vatareu es hayeled vihine nar boche. She opened up the basket, and she saw the child was crying. Umiyad, the narrative stops right there. She goes to her handmaids. What are we going to do with him? But immediately, vatachmo alav. She had pity on him. Then she went to her handmaids and said, let's get someone, a Jewish woman, to nurse this child, right? Which is another halachic issue. Is a non-Jew allowed to nurse a Jewish child? A whole other issue. Miyad v'tachma alav, v'gamra lahatzilo. And then she decided, b'da'ata, then she determined that she's going to save this child. But first came the pity. First came the heart. Then came the intellectual approach, how we're going to go through the plan, how's the plan going to work? V'rak acharka, only afterwards, Amra miyaldei ha'ivrim zeh. Then she said, this must be one of the Jewish children. V'sakonis nefashis lahatzilo, and it's actually a dangerous situation to save him. We're putting ourselves, me as the daughter of Paro, I'm putting myself in a terrible situation to save this boy. Ah, however, kivan shekfar hichlit lahatzilo, amda bedaito. Once her heart had made that decision, then she made the intellectual decision to save him. Ubiksha tachbulot keitzad latzil, and then she went and tried to devise a plan how to save Moshe Rabbeinu. Af shesichna nafsha b'zeh, notwithstanding the fact she put herself in mortal danger by doing this. Va'amarti mikfar, this is the rabbi's comment. So here you see a tremendous lesson of chesed from no one less than the daughter, the princess of Egypt, the daughter of Paro. Not a Jewish woman, but a woman who had that tremendous capacity of chesed. And the real test of chesed is that you should feel the chesed immediately. The heart should precede the mind in this case. Now, that's not always advisable. In general, you know, it's not enough to function on an emotional level. There has to be, afterwards, one has to step back and use a little bit of intellectual application. You know, for example, you know, the Kedusha, the sanctity of the synagogue in the United States suffered a tremendous blow over the years when the non-Orthodox movements brought mixed seating into the synagogue. And how did that come about? Because listen, you know, there was an expression they used to use, the family that prays together stays together, right? So here you have it. I want to daven next to my wife. What's wrong? I want to daven next to my husband. It's a more meaningful experience. So you know, think about it, right? Sunday night, he's out with the boys playing cards, and she's home. Monday night, the wife is out with the girls, and he's home. Tuesday night, he's late at work, and supper is, you know, when he comes home late, they're eating separately. Thursday night, and so on and so forth. All of a sudden, when I go to shul, I want to sit next to my husband. I want to sit next to my wife. Well, it doesn't work that way. If you really love somebody, you don't pray with them. You pray for them. If you love someone, you pray for them. Not you don't have to pray with them. And in fact, it's a very nice thing. I want to sit next to my wife. But someone else is going to sit next to his wife. And that's going to be a distraction because we're human beings. So we're going to be distracted. So the rabbis in their chokhmah established what is our Masorah, our tradition, which goes all the way back to the Beis HaMikdash, of a separation of the genders for tefillah. So if you go with emotion, you can destroy Yiddishkeit completely, you know, if you go with your heart. So there has to be this blending, this nexus and synthesis between emotion and intellect, between heart and mind. But first here, in terms of helping someone, your first reaction should be, the first Jewish reaction should be, and we embarrassingly learn this out, not just from Moshe Rabbeinu, but from Bitya, the daughter of Paro. And then he concludes the Limurei Nissan. V'amarti mikfar, I've said many times, Shetamid nemar chesed ve'emes. We always say chesed ve'emes, kindness, and then truth. Or in this sense, he means like logic, right? Chesed kodem le'emes. First the chesed, then the emes. But not, again, as we pointed out, not chesed without the emes. There has to be emes. Sheharatzon tzarich liyot mirishito lechesed. My first knee-jerk reaction should be not a knee-jerk reaction. It should be a heart-jerk reaction. It should come from the heart. Lachmol ularachem ulaazor, to have pity, to have compassion, and to want to help. Va'acharkach, and afterwards, ladun ala emet. Then let's get logical and see how we can do it. Ve'im nat chiu mehaemet. But if we would start with the logic, well, this guy's in trouble. Let's see. Let me see. How can I help? Will I be late for my appointment? Will I be able to really do something? Can I make a difference? Me'olam lo tagi ala chesed. You'll never get to helping someone. V'gam ha'emet tilaket. And emes suffers also. So chesed ve'emes. That's what we learn from the princess of Egypt, Bitya Bas Paro. Okay. Next piece on page number 3 is from the Emes LeYaakov, from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. And here we have now, things have progressed. Moshe is commanded, accepts, not willingly at first, but accepts the responsibility of leading Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, out of Egypt. And Aaron helps him. And they go to Paro, and Paro sees that they want to leave. And Paro tightens the screws on the Jewish people, makes it harder for them. They now have to make their own straw. At first, the straw was given to them, and they made the bricks. Now, not only do they have to make the bricks, but they have to find the straw themselves. And further, he says, "Va'al Yishu b'divrei sheker, b'divrei shaker," and he says they're not allowed to turn to their words of falseness. Now, what is this referring to? So Rashi has his own direction in this, but Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has a unique approach to this pasuk, and we alluded to it a few weeks ago. Va'al yishu b'divrei shaker, they should not look in their books, their words of falsity. What is he referring to? So he quotes a medrash. The medrash of our oral tradition, the rabbis teach, melameid from this, shahayu biyadam migilot, shahayu mishta'ashim behem mishabbos l'shabbos. They had Sforim. Jewish people learned in Egypt. They had Sforim in Megillah fashion. There were no printed Sforim. Everything was in a Megillah, in a scroll. They had Megillahs, the rabbis tell us, that they studied from Shabbos to Shabbos because they had a day off on Shabbos, right, as we'll see. Lomar, this is to teach you, Shakodesh Baruch Hu Goalan, Lefi Shahayu Nochin B'Shabbos. They rested on Shabbos. Amar Lehen Paro. Paro said to them, Techabed ha'avodah al ha'anashim. We're going to make the work harder on these people and the Jews now. V'yasu bo v'lo yishu. Now, they cannot look in their books. Eliyu mishtashim v'al yu nafishim b'yom ha'Shabbos. No more rest on Shabbos. No more looking in their books on Shabbos. Hine lo matzinu b'shum makom ma hayu megillas elu ma'ala b'sofa. So far, Rabbi Kamenetsky, Rav Yaakov is telling us the words of the rabbis. That actually the Jewish people had Megillahs that they studied on Shabbos. It was their day off. They were given a day off. Moshe, of course, took Shabbos for them. and they studied certain svarim. But what were these svarim? What was it that they studied? So here, Rav Yaakov postulates, he suggests, what it was that Klal Yisrael studied on Shabbos. Va'ala b'dayti lomar, I thought to put forth the following suggestion. Dehine, im nidayek b'mizmor shir liyom ha-shabbat. If you look carefully at that special capital of Tehillim, that special chapter of Psalms that we say every Shabbos, called Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. We say it three times. We say it Friday night, we say it in Psukei Dezimra, and we say it at the end of Davening. Three times we say Mizmor, this is the Psalm of the Sabbath day. It says nothing about Shabbos. Do you ever think about that? Well, Rav Yaakov did. Listen to him. There's nothing in that Kapitel Tehillim that says anything about Shabbos. V'adarabba, that's the opposite. B'saf ha-mizmor, at the end of it, bier lanu, it explains she'tachlis kavonis ha-mizmor, the whole purpose of this psalm is summed up, lahagid, to teach, ki yashar Hashem, that God is straight, tsuri, my rock, v'lo'av losabo, in whom there is no wrong. That's what it's all about. To have trust and faith in God. V'ach v'im kein, if that's the case, ein zu kavanas Shabbos. What does that have to do with Shabbos? V'niru, so let me suggest that it has everything to do with Shabbos in Egypt. Shemizmor ze haya echad meha megilot shehishtashu behen b'yom ha-shabbat b'mitzrayim. This Kapitel Tehillim was one of the Megillahs that the Jews studied in Egypt. V'hainu, why? Achar sheparo hiskim livakashaso shel Moshe. When Paro agreed to Moshe's request, sheyitei Yisrael yom menucha, to give them a day of rest. Ubachar lo Moshe as yom haShabbos, and Moshe chose Shabbos. Sider Moshe, Moshe arranged, sheyisasu b'nei Yisrael, that the Jewish people would gather, v'yishtashu b'migloseihen, and study and read their books. Aval achar shebo Moshe leParo, but after Paro, Moshe came to Paro, sheyishlaches b'nei Yisrael, that please send out the Jewish people, gazar aleihem sheyasu avodasam gam b'Shabbos. So when he heard that, he said, no, they have to work on Shabbos. They got to work on Shabbos. Kedei shelo yuchlu l'yishtashev b'migloseihen, so they won't have time to look in these books. These books are causing problems for me, these svarim. All right? Okay, go to the next. Now, go right down B, the bottom. Va'achre ha'iyun. Now, after examining this, thinking about it, nearly it occurred to me, the mikevan shematzinu, since we find shemizmor shili yom ha-shabbos, this psalm for the Sabbath day, Moshe Rabbeinu Amro. By the way, this comes as a bit of a surprise to us. The Psalms of David were not all written by David Melech Yisrael. There were a number of the Psalms that were not written by David. The rabbis tell us in our oral traditions, a Gemara. And here we have, Kamosha Kosov Rashi, Maseches Bava Basra. Rashi mentions this in his commentary to one of the tractates of the Talmud. Tfilo Lemoshe, which we say on Shabbos morning also. V'chol Yud Aleph Mizmorim Kesidram. And that's a series of 11 chapters of Tehillim of Psalms were written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Im kein yesh lomar. So I want to suggest the mizmor ze haya echad miha megillas adan. This is one of the ones that were written by Moshe. And this, why? What does it talk about? Ha'in yishol rasha v'tovlo v'tzadik v'ralo. Why do good things happen to bad people? And why do bad things happen to good people? This is what the Jews had to find strength in when they were in Egypt. These Egyptians, these terrible Egyptian taskmasters, are living the life of Riley, right? And we are suffering as slaves. We're supposed to be the chosen people, chosen by God. And what's going on here? Ve'emasai amda she'lezu b'chol takfo. Where did this question of tzadik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo, raise its head? Where, and historically, did Jews feel this sense of frustration with this notion of why are good things happening to bad people? Go to see here. Ki acharei sheroh b'nei Yisrael. After the Jewish people saw b'nei with their own eyes, es anoni hakavod, they saw the clouds of glory, sevivam, u'bechol pam shehayu chotim, Anytime they sinned, Shayabo, take if ha'onish. There was punishment immediately. Azlo haya makom l'shelezu. So when God was near and someone went veered off the course where he was punished, we saw that, you know, that tzaddik is rewarded and the opposite of the tzaddik is punished. Va'al kochach b'shah shahayu b'nei so b'mitzrayim. But when the Jews were in Egypt, v'hayu ro'im b'neim, and they saw with their eyes ki tzaddikim heim, lumat ha'mitzrim, that they were pious and righteous people in contrast to the Egyptians, Egyptian culture. V'sof davar, at the end of the day, ha'mitzrim mishtavdim b'hem, and the Egyptians are the ones who are their masters. Az adon ha'neviim nizdakek, then the master of the prophets, referring to Moshe himself, nizdakek l'shelezu, he turned to this question. U'lechein, go up to D, the top of the left-hand column. La'achar shekiblu Yisrael miparo es ha-Shabbos kiyom menucha, after the Jews received Shabbos as a day of rest, hinei nitzayir na'alatz menu. Think about it. Ma hayu osim achenu ha-meduchayim biyom menucha zu. What were our brothers and sisters doing, our poor, distraught Jewish brethren? What were they doing, Am Yisrael, in Mitzrayim on Shabbos? Kimuvan shayu holchim el ha-yeshiva. They clearly went to the yeshiva. Shelo pasku me'avoseinu. There was a yeshiva in Mitzrayim. Levi, in fact, was the Rosh Yeshiva. There are sheets there if you would like to get a sheet. There was a yeshiva. Levi was the Rosh Yeshiva. They gathered in the yeshiva in Egypt. The yeshiva de Mitzrayim, which existed, right? Yeshiva Gedola de Mitzrayim. V'nitzayerna. Let's picture this. Ma haita ikir hadrasha. What did the rabbi speak about on Shabbos morning in the yeshiva gedola of Mitzrayim, in the congregation of the Bnei Yisrael in Egypt, the young Israel of Cairo? What did the rabbi speak about? What did Moshe Rabbeinu speak about in the young Israel of Cairo, in the Union of Orthodox Jewish, in the OU shul in Cairo? Kimuvan laodeid et rucham. Clearly, without a doubt, to elevate their spirit. V'shelo yikshu kushazu, that they shouldn't ask the question, or at least be provided with some comfort about the question of tzaddik v'ralo, of the righteous, why good things happen to bad people, and why bad things happen to good people. Ulezeh tikein, me Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom established Mizmor zeh liyom ha-shabbat. This Kapitel Tehillim, this chapter of Psalms for Shabbos. I mean, you look at it to Friday night, and you'll and Shabbos morning, and you'll see Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, the Psalm for the Sabbath day. Nothing about Shabbos, but according to Rabbi Yaakov, everything to do with Shabbos. It talks about Tzadik V'Ralo, Rashi V'Tavlo, to give us strength. V'Hainu L'Hagid B'Boker Chasdecha, to speak over his Chesed, to recognize his Chesed in the morning. But we have emuna in him in night. Kilomar afilu bishat tokev hagalut. Even in the darkest night of galut, shahayu doma lalaila. Galut, galus is referred to as a metaphor. Laila is always a metaphor for galus. Afal pike. That being said, aleinu lomar. We have to say ma gadlu ma asecha Hashem, as the psalm says. How great are the works of God? Meod amku machshav asecha. How deep and penetrating are his thoughts. She parach rishoyim kamo esev v'yatzitzu kol po'el le'avan. Right, he destroys our enemies. Rak lahashmidam adayad. Right, v'yatzitzu kol po'el le'avan. V'yatzitzu kol po'el le'avan. Even though we see them kamo esev, they blossom like grass. But in the end, we will persevere. And he goes on just to the word sadika tamar yifrach, like a cedar or a date palm, milvanon yiske, we will become strong again. V'hakavanuhu lahagid ki yashar Hashem, v'lav lo sabo. That God is great, God will not abandon his people. So here, Rabbi Yaakov unravels the great mystery of the rabbi's statement that the Jews had books, they had sforim in Egypt, and they studied. What did they study? When did they study? So Rabbi Yaakov tells us, this Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, this is what they studied. And it was really not about Shabbos per se, the laws of Shabbos, but it was what the people needed to hear to give them strength. that even though it appears that God has abandoned us, know that He will never abandon us, that they will come, we are going to leave Egypt, and that is Mizmor Shir, Liyom HaShabbat. That's what they study. Okay. Just running out of time, so perhaps I'll just tell you over number four outside without going through it. It's a lengthy piece, so I'll just tell you what the idea is. This is from the Pachad Yitzchak, from Rav Huttner, that we've seen in the past, one of the great Balei Machshava and Gedolim of the 20th century. And Rav Huttner points out an interesting fact, which also, a simple idea that has eluded, I'm sure has eluded all of us, if not at least me, it eluded until I saw this. Strangely, in Shmos, we can at least do the first paragraph. Eile Shmos b'nei Yisrael habayim Mitzrayim. These are the names of the Jewish people who came to Egypt. Vayamat Yosef v'kol echav v'kol ador ahu. And Yosef died, and his brothers, and the entire generation. Zuhi hapam hayechida. This is the one and only time in Tanakh. Shehuskara b'katuv mitatam shel hashvatim b'chlal. That the shvatim as a whole were mentioned that they died. V'ilu mitato shel Yosef, Huskara bekan, betchilat Sefer Shmot, the death of Yosef is mentioned here at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, v'nichpala besofos shel Sefer Bereshit. The death of Yosef is also mentioned last week in Parshas Vayechi. Asher hasiyum shel ohu v'yamat Yosef, bevadai shel roi lanu l'hitorer al mitato shel Yosef, shaya parsha shenemra v'chazra v'nishnit. He says, basically, he says a person only dies once. How come the Torah mentions the death of Yosef twice? Once in the book of Bereshit and once in the book of Shmos. That's his question. This is a lengthy answer, and this isn't even the whole essay. It's much more. I just cut out, but we'll just say it out orally. Basically, he says a chiddush. He says a nuance. He says something very special. He says that Yosef, the book of, unlike our approach in our first piece from the Bahag, from the Netziv, that there's Bereshis Aleph and Bereshis Beis, Shmos is Bereshis Beis, there's another approach to these two Chumashim, is that Sefer Bereshis is the book of Avot, right? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sor, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, and Sefer Shmot is the book of the Sefer Habanim. It's the next generation of the Jewish people, right? So he says, and we know that Avot by the Jewish people are three, right? Ein Avot, Yoser Migimel, right? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then we have the Banim, right? The children, the next generation. Yosef, Rabbi Huttner goes on to explain, Yosef is both. He is kind of a bridge between the Avot and the Banim. He has a double personality, so to speak. He is a dual persona. He is both an Av, and he's also a Ben. You know, the rabbis tell us that Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv were instituted by whom? Shachris by Avraham. Mincha, Yitzchak. Maariv,
Yaakov.
The rabbis tell us, what about Musaf? What name do you see in Musaf? Musaf. Mem, Valev, Samech, Pei, end of Pei Sofi, is Yosef. Yosef created Musaf. So Yosef, that additional prayer, Yosef is that additional Av, right? So he goes on to say that Avraham was the first person, well, let me just use his words, that we can do. If you look in the third paragraph, 1, 2, 3, 4, in Yanu Shel Avraham Avinu, who, this third line, Shahayat Tchilat LaGeirin, he was the first who became a Jew. The first Jew by choice was Avraham, the first holy convert to the Jewish people. The first Jew by choice. He was Tchilat LaGeirin, right? Go on. And Yitzchak, in Yanu Shel Yitzchak, Shahayat Rishon, Shahayat Kadosh Mirechem. He was the first born Jew, right? And then he goes on to say, in Yanu Shel Yaakov, Shahayu Rishon Asher Mitato Shlema. He was the first who accepted the tradition of the Jew, right? His so he says in Yiddish, For those of you who understand Yiddish, you'll appreciate this brilliant poetry of Rav Huttner. Avram de Erste Gevorener, Yitzchak de Erste Geborener, and Yaakov de Erste Farfallener. Avram was the first born Jew, the first who became a Jew. Yitzchak was the first born Jew, and Yaakov was the first who had no choice, right? So what about Yosef? So he says that Yosef added something else. He added that with his escape from Eishes Potiphar, by his running away from the wife of Potiphar, by resisting the having a child with Eishes Potiphar would have been the halacha is that a child that is born from a Jew and a non-Jewish woman, Vlada Kamosa, the baby is non-Jewish. So he resisted intermarriage. By resisting intermarriage, now he created a fourth element of avhus, of fatherhood, of spiritual eternal energy in the Jewish people, that we will never, as much as the scourge of intermarriage is upon us, but it will never totally defeat us. And that is the spiritual energy that Yosef gave us as an av. Okay, a brilliant idea. So Yosef's death, therefore, is recorded in both books because he was at one and the same an av and a ben. Okay, thank you. See you next week. And there are questions. I just want to... Okay.
Can we address the question?
Absolutely.
I never thought of this until just this moment.
Okay.
Truthfully, where does the word Jew come from?
Where?
Uh-huh.
It would be okay. Yehuda.
Comes from the tribe of Yehuda.
But who gave us that?
So the Jewish people, you know, that's the custom of the Jews who became to call ourselves Jews. You know, I'll just tell you something very beautiful. Rav Kook once said, a magnificent idea. He said that when a Jew keeps a mitzvah of the Torah, any mitzvah of the Torah, he's also doing the mitzvah of Avat Hashem, of loving God. Because by doing a mitzvah of God, you're loving God. When you do a minhag, a custom, you're also doing the mitzvah of Avat Yisrael, loving the Jewish people, because the Jewish people created custom. So the Jewish people accepted upon themselves to call themselves Yehuda. Why of all, it's a good question, why of all the Shvatim, of all the tribes, why are we called Benjis? Why are we called Benjis, Benjamins? Why are we called Zvulun, Zvulins, those dirty Zvulins, those dirty Yisachars, right? I love the Yisachars, but it's Jews. Why are we called after Yehuda? What's unique about Yehuda? Yehuda, when he received... anybody have an answer to this question? Go ahead.
There were a bunch of different things in the Midrash. One of the things in the Midrash was it was actually in the schut of Leah, because Leah thanked Hashem for giving her more than her fair share of the sons, because she had one more.
Let me give a pirush to the rabbi here. Okay? Leah was Yehuda's mother. She received one more child than the other wives. And she said, I got more than my chelik, more than I deserve. A Jew, that's a Jew, that whatever God does for us, I don't even deserve it. I got
it. But it's a translation somewhere along the
way. Of Judah.
Yehuda.
Okay? Okay, people. Thank you. Next week,
Can I ask one quick question?
Yeah.
Yosef ended up marrying the daughter of Potiphar, who was not a Jew. So I didn't follow what the Rab was saying when he said that Yosef resisted the intermarriage by running away from Potiphar.